I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Blog Talk Radio.
It is Thursday, November 2nd, 2017, Bound for Glory, 3 days away. We just watched the go-home show of Impact Wrestling here on the post-Impact edition of the PW Torch Livecast. I'm Mike McMahon with Andrew Socek. And Andrew, we're 3 days away from a pay-per-view. And if you didn't know that, we got about conservatively 75 video packages that told us that there was a pay-per-view coming up on Sunday.
Yes, I was hoping we'd get a few more. I just wasn't quite sure if there what was going on Sunday, but good to know that they filled us in for a bit.
You know, it's I joked, well, not joked, but I wrote this on my Impact report. I kind of get it. Like, there was a ton of video packages on this show, and they also apparently needed to cut a lot of things out of this show. They probably needed to cut some Jeff Jarrett segments. Who knows if they had to cut anything with Taryn Terrell and the women's match. But yeah. The last couple of weeks especially, heavy on the video packages. I found myself writing a video package aired in my Impact report over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been fine had it just been this week, because that makes sense. You know, people still have to pay $40-$50 to watch this show, so you got to put it over the top and really play things up. But the fact that they did it 3 weeks in a row really hurt the momentum going into their version of WrestleMania, their biggest show of the year, as they kept saying throughout the night. So, yeah, kind of it was not as bad as the last 2 weeks, I thought, but it definitely did not leave me excited in just about any way to see the show on Sunday.
Yeah, the thing that struck me is it kind of felt like it was – like if you order a pay-per-view – back in the pay-per-view days with WWE and even TNA, when you ordered a pay-per-view on a cable system, like a half an hour before, you would get that preview show. And I know in the WWE days, you know, it was like Todd Grisham or somebody like that would just be there, and they'd throw it'd just be video package after video package after video package. And it kind of felt like at times that this was just a two-hour version of that, which, like you said, I mean, hey, at least they were hyping the show, but it made some of the flow, I think, of this week's Impact feel a little off. Anyway, you can give us a call. We're going to run the whole gamut of subjects tonight, from this week's episode of Impact to Bound for Glory on Sunday. We'll heavily preview that show here at 515-605-9345. That's the phone number. You can get a hold of us through email. Our email address is impactlivecast@gmail.com. Let's get right to an email right now. Cody LeBlanc, I believe this is Cody. Yeah, Cody in Baton Rouge. It's a longer email, but we'll get right to it, and then we'll get to some phone calls as well at 515-605-9345. Cody says he didn't think he'd be able to call into the show, so he thought he'd send in an email. And he says he sent this before the show aired tonight. So let's see. Cody says, first of all, I was listening to Todd Martin on Wade's podcast earlier today, and from what I was hearing from him, it seems like he doesn't listen to this show when it comes to Bound for Glory buildup. One of the things he mentioned is that he thought the build to the pay-per-view was decent. If I remember correctly, you and Andrew have come on the air on numerous occasions and said that it doesn't seem like the people at Impact know they have a pay-per-view coming up, to which I agree with you. Also, another thing that struck me as odd, for example, was that Todd also said Sienna has been booked as a strong champion, and I think he's confused being booked to win title matches with being booked as a strong champion. From my recollection, I seem to recall us discussing my complaints with the lack of attention Sienna has been getting on TV. The focus on the women's division in Impact has been geared more towards Gail Kim and her retirement tour, as well as the Rosemary Taya Valkyrie feud, and Sienna has been on the back burner so much that she should team up with Eli Drake and just heel on the whole company that's been lacking in giving them attention that they deserve. I'm referring to you guys, though. Are we being too overly critical, and does Impact deserve this kind of criticism? First of all, Cody, I would say that everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I don't think that they're building to the pay-per-view, clearly. I mean, they've been talking about it for weeks. I think my bigger issue with the build to the pay-per-view, what they're building to is my bigger issue. You know, the build has been okay. Mm-hmm. The hype, they're hyping the show okay. But I think what they're building to just doesn't feel like a big event. One of the things that struck me tonight, Andrew, was the Pluto TV rewind or whatever it is they're calling it. They rewind to Bound for Glory. What year was that? Was that 2008? Sting versus Kurt Angle?
I think it was 8, yeah.
But so 9 years ago, 10 years ago, they're in a big arena. There's a ton of people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of star power in the ring with Kurt Angle and Sting. And now you fast forward to here, and they're not going to be in a big arena. And no offense to Eli Drake and Johnny Impact, but that just doesn't have the star power of Kurt Angle versus Sting. So it almost feels like, how the company has fallen. I mean, to me, I think the issue is more what they're building towards as opposed to how they've built it. But what's your opinion there on just the overall build to the pay-per-view?
Yeah, I haven't listened to the fix yet. I probably will tomorrow or this weekend, so I don't know exactly everything he said, but I'm of the mind that it has been a pretty bad build. They've plugged the show a lot. I'll give them that. But, yeah, I mean, everything that they've led to has been confusing on many angles. I mean, just take, like, the X Division match. That was never officially announced. In storyline, a few weeks ago, I complained. There was this angle where all those guys yelled at Jim Cornette that they wanted this match, and then it didn't go anywhere for 3 weeks. So that was like a plot hole. It's just been rematch after rematch after rematch. Half of the card, actually well more than half the card we've seen in some form. So I think in that sense, the build has been pretty terrible because they've already given us everything that we're going to see in some way. In that sense, I'm not, I would say it's been pretty bad. Sienna, no, I don't think she's been booked that strongly. I can't think of any big impressive win she's come up with lately. So, I'm not quite sure, but overall, I'd give them a pretty low grade on how they've been building this show. But some of it has been outside of their control. A lot of it has been within their control, and just combined, it's been a gigantic, kind of embarrassing mess, I would say.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that it's been good by any stretch. You can think back to, like you said, to me, it's more with the booking. The booking of the fact that, like you said, all these matches we've seen before. And to the extent tonight that they actually take the X Division match and show it 3 days before the pay-per-view. And, I understand. I'm not even sure if they announced this on TV, but I saw it I think Jeremy Borash was talking about it on Jim Ross's podcast, which I was listening to earlier today. At the pay-per-view, it's going to be an Ultimate X match, and the title's going to be in the line. But still, they did the same six-man match tonight, 3 days before the pay-per-view. Like you said, almost everything on this card on Sunday is a rematch. So why are people supposed to spend money to see it? We've seen these matches before. And that's where that's where I really have an issue with this show, is I don't think it's been booked well. I don't think it's been booked well. I think that the turnover they've had in their roster has really hurt them from a star power standpoint. To me, the match that feels like it's the biggest match on the card is Lashley and King Mo against Moose and Stephen mm-hmm. Bonner. And even then, and we've talked about the booking of that match, you know, for weeks, but the silliness of Moose walking into an MMA gym and surprised you got beat up by 9 guys, and then going back and, you know, destroying a trophy case with a baseball bat, the absurdity of it has been silly. Right. It's been corny. And that's where they're losing me right now is I think the booking's been poor. And look, maybe they don't have a lot of money, and that's why they have to. Why they have had to make the roster decisions that they've made. But I don't feel like the roster, it's good. I mean, they're putting together good matches. I think the partnership with AAA and Pro Wrestling Noah has helped. Although Pro Wrestling Noah has sort of been non-existent from this last set of television tapings that just concluded here tonight. But it just doesn't. It doesn't feel like they have enough stars. You know, and that costs money, but. Headlining your biggest show of the year with Eli Drake versus Johnny Impact just doesn't feel like a big enough match.
Completely agree. Yeah. And I'm a big fan of Eli Drake, especially.
I think so am I.
Pretty solid. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's done a good job, but I mean, until he won that match, he was a mid-carder. I mean, he meant nothing.
Yep.
So they booked themselves into the unenviable position of trying to make him feel like a star in 2 months. It was not going to happen. I mean, he'd have to be like, you know, what was he going to do? Like go on a Goldberg winning streak or something? There was just nothing they could do to heat him up that much to make him feel like a star. Now, he may be there next year at Bound for Glory if it's still a thing. Who knows what will happen? But yeah, I mean, it's just... It's unfortunate how many problems they've had. And I think one of the themes tonight, just briefly, was that they kind of failed on a lot of the go home, the final sells. Like you brought up Moose, and Moose didn't cut this, you know, babyface promo saying how, you know, he's going to win his match and he can't wait for it. He did not respond to America's, to the MMA team at all. They just showed him in Japan and he didn't even play into the finish of that match. So,
yeah.
That's awful. Yeah. I mean, there's no other way to say it. That's a terrible, terrible, terrible way to sell your pay-per-view by doing that. So just one mess after the next, really, over these past few weeks.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't put Eli Drake on par with Jinder Mahal, but it's a similar story. You know, they took a mid-card mm-hmm. guy and just catapulted him to the top right away. And it's interesting, going back to the Jeremy Borash interview with Jim Ross on the Ross Report, only because I was listening to it earlier today when I was in the car, Jeremy Borash said something to the effect of, and I'm not quoting him directly, I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly what he said, but something to the effect of, hey, you know what, people were excited about Eli Drake, and we've given him the title, we're giving him a run. And it feels very much like... It reminded me a lot of when they just went with Eric Young because WWE wasn't going with their bearded guy, so we're going to go with our bearded guy because this is what the people want. You know, yeah, people were getting behind Eli Drake. We were talking about how we were fans of Eli Drake, how we thought he could be a world champion in the main event picture. We were talking about that in January, but mm-hmm. I think we were talking about it for a year from now. You know, we weren't talking, and you look, maybe from January to November, they could have done it, but this wasn't a road from Eli Drake that went from January to November. This went from July to November. Like you said, he was a mid-carder. There were weeks where he wasn't even on the show, and all of a sudden, he's the world champion because El Patron got involved in the situation that he got involved with. So it definitely feels like he's been rushed to the top. Now, I still think he's good. I still think he's a good talker. I think he's come a long way in the ring, but it's what you get when you rush it like that, and it's the same thing that SmackDown's gone through. He feels like he's a budding star. It feels like he's going to be a star, but it doesn't really feel like he's mm-hmm. a star yet. And that's where it gets lost for me, where, you know, Johnny Mundo, Johnny Impact, yeah, he's a good wrestler, but you know what? Like, it doesn't feel like they're big enough stars to be main eventing what is your version of WrestleMania. That's where it falls short for me. And I think this should be your second match from the top, or your third match from the top. It shouldn't be at the top of the card.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. I mean, if they wanted to make him a star, they needed to have him go over their own stars and like create this path for him over these past few months. Like he has a big feud with EC3 and beats him. And then he goes on to James Storm and beats him. but nothing like that took place. I think three, I'm probably off here a little bit, but like basically like three out of the past 4 weeks before he won the title, he wasn't even on TV and he hadn't talked even before that, probably in the past few weeks. He would just show up and maybe in a backstage segment and it wouldn't mean anything. So yes, I think Mahal is a great comparison there. Mahal was probably a little worse.
Oh yeah.
Cause he was like, he was bottom of the bottom, but I mean, I think it's a fair comparison to make in the sense that you're suddenly supposed to buy into someone as a major player without actually spending a single ounce of effort into it beforehand. Which just makes for bad TV really, because I mean, next week for all you know, Caleb Conley could win the belt and then we're supposed to suddenly buy into him for no reason.
Yeah. And you know, it feels like ever since Anthem took over, they've been in this constant state of turning over the roster to the point where there's been guys mm-hmm. that they brought in that are now gone, you know, Loki or whomever. There were a lot more departures. Oh, yeah. There were a lot more departures that were announced this week. Marche Rocket announced that he was done with the company. I think referee Brian Hebner announced that he was done with the company. There was a couple of others too, and I can't remember. Reno Scum announced that they were done with the company. So
there's been Rockstar Spud.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of turnover. There continues to be a lot of turnover, and I don't know if that's due to the constant change of direction. You know, where some of these guys that Jeff Jarrett wanted to invest in, and now Jarrett's out of the picture, or what? But it seems like, you know, we're at month 11 now of the Anthem era, and it still doesn't feel like they've got a foundation of where they want to be moving forward from a roster standpoint. They're bringing people in for one set of tapings, and then they're gone and they disappear. It's just it doesn't feel like they're on solid ground. I think the company's in a better spot than it was a year ago. I remarked on Twitter earlier today, a year ago at this time, we were wondering whether or not a pay-per-view was going to happen on Sunday. You know, the Thursday before mm-hmm. Bound for Glory last year, Billy Corgan's doing radio interviews going, hey, I can just tell you, if I'm standing in the ring, it's going to be a heck of a show, but I don't know if I'm going to be there. Because they had no idea if the show was even going to happen. So the company is in a better spot than it was a year ago at this time, but I'm not sure I can say that it's in a good spot. You know, and I think the constant roster turnover has hurt the product, and maybe that's a financial move, maybe it's not, but it's definitely hurt the flow of the show. And I think it's part of the reason and I think it's part of the reason why we have Eli Drake and Johnny Impact in the main event.
Yeah, I mean, had you watched, or, you know, for people that watched the first few months of Impact this year, you would have assumed Bound for Glory would have been more exciting, more, more stars on the show. I mean, like you said, Loki should probably be there in some form. Matt Morgan was around for a bit. Magnus, Jeff Jarrett, Alberto El Patron, but just, you know, due to different circumstances, they're all gone. You know, imagine the card with these guys, and it's more intriguing at least. I know Patron's going to be there, but I don't even know if they really mentioned him tonight, which I thought was odd. But the turnover has hurt so much because it's hard to get invested in anyone. I mean, even Taryn Terrell was booked for this show, and then that slap from hell took her out of action, and she will, I don't know, who knows if she'll ever come back.
Yeah, the slap that apparently caused a concussion, I think, was the story. That's an interesting one. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll go to the phone lines right after a break here at 515-605-9345 on the PW Torch Livecast. We will preview Bound for Glory. Andrew and I will make our Bound for Glory picks later on in the show. We'll run through the card. And also, one bit of show news that, Andrew, I don't even think I emailed you on yet. But Sunday night after Bound for Glory, Andrew and I will host a special edition of the Impact Livecast here on PWTorchLivecast.com. Pat McNeil and Greg Parks, they will host Wrestling Night in America in its regular time slot. So you can actually listen to Pat and Greg during Bound for Glory. They'll be on the air at 8 p.m. Eastern hosting Wrestling Night in America, as they do every Sunday here on the PW Torch Livecast. And then as soon as this Bound for Glory ends, Andrew and I will jump on the PW Torch Livecast. We'll do what we do after Impact. We'll take your calls. We'll take your emails. We'll break down the show right here on the Impact edition of the PW Torch Livecast. So that'll be Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, as soon as Impact, as soon as Bound for Glory goes off the air. And again, Wrestling Night in America with Pat McNeil and Greg Parks. They'll be on in their regular time slot of 8 p.m. Eastern time. So tonight we'll take your phone calls on the go-home edition of Impact Wrestling to Bound for Glory. And that number again, 515-605-9345. Quick commercial break. We'll come back with more and your phone calls right here on the PW Torch Livecast.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, back here on the PW Torch Livecast, 515-605-9345. Let's go to the phone lines now. Up first is Kylan in New Jersey. Kylan, how are you this Thursday?
I'm very well, Mike. How are you and Andrew doing this week?
Not too bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. What's on your mind?
Well, as usual with this crazy company, I have more behind-the-scenes questions than I do questions about actual show content.
Yeah, that seems to be... There's always something every week.
My first question, which this should be fresh in your mind since this just occurred during the main event. Did either of you notice that Eli Drake was referred to as the Global Force Wrestling Global Champion? And why was this allowed to happen, considering that the former chief creative officer of Impact, which used to be Global Force Wrestling, owns the stinking trademark and name Global Force Wrestling?
You know, I didn't catch that, but it's one of those things where they've used it on the show. It just didn't stand out. Andrew, did you catch that?
No, I didn't catch that either. That is a solid catch.
That's hilarious.
My guess
though.
My guess is that it's just a editor who just didn't catch it, didn't care. Maybe he was talking to somebody else while editing the show. But that is funny that made the air.
Yeah, it definitely must have been unintentional, because I noticed in the graphic for Johnny Impact versus Eli Drake, in the graphic that they were showing on the screen to promote Bound for Glory, they referred to the match as a global championship match, but the belt that Eli Drake was holding, the Global Force Wrestling logo was gone, and there was like a what looked like an Impact bumper sticker kind of like placed over the middle of it. It was clearly, I think it was probably Photoshop, but it looked like just a big blocky Impact logo. Like it, so clearly they're not using, you know, that belt and that name, but I would imagine they'd probably either go back to the old belts, or maybe they have had new belts made that they'll use at Bound for Glory. But yeah, no, Kylan, I didn't catch that, but that's pretty funny.
And it happened. David Penzer said those words.
Yeah, you know, and that's the other thing too. I guess that would have been pretty. You could have edited that out. You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
Aren't you glad you have me around to catch these things for you?
100%.
Now on to my second question. Are all of these releases or requests for release a significant sign that we should believe Jeff Jarrett when he says that Anthem may be out of money, at least to a degree, or are these former talents strictly unhappy about the direction of the company?
You know, my gut instinct is that they're probably just unhappy with their direction, or at least how they've been used. Some of them, I'm going to guess that a lot of these guys are probably on pay-per-appearance deals. You know, that's my gut instinct anyway. Not all of them were used heavily on a regular basis, so it could have just been a situation where, hey, you know what, they're not being used, so they're not getting paid, and they just decide to sort of, you know, cut bait and go elsewhere. One of the things, too, that was brought up this week that I read, in order to get some tax breaks in Canada, they need to use a certain amount of Canadian talent on the show with production. So that's why I think David Penzer is not going to be the ring announcer for Bound for Glory or for the TV tapings. There's going to be a lot of new referees. They're probably, you know, undercard talent. They might be using some Canadian talent. And a lot of that is in an effort to get whatever the ratio it is that they need to be eligible for some, from what I understand, pretty substantial tax breaks when it comes to their production costs. So some of it just could have been that. You know what? You know, Marche Rocket, for example, could have said, hey, you know what? I haven't been used on TV in months. Now you're telling me that you're not bringing me to Ottawa for these tapings, so I'm done. I won out. I would imagine it's probably more something like that. Andrew, what's your read on that? I know Jeff Jarrett did say last week, I believe he responded to it. There was, I forget which outlet, but somebody had sent him a request for comment. And he did say that Anthem is out of money. I kind of take that with a grain of salt. You know, I think Jeff's probably a little upset about what happened. But that's sort of my initial read on it. What do you think's going on there with all those releases? Do you think it could be something to that effect, or do you think it's maybe just people unhappy with how they've been used?
Yeah, I think it's more people just being unhappy, but I would say it is a mix. I mean, it seems pretty clear that Anthem doesn't have a lot of money. Otherwise, they would have gone to greater efforts to maybe shoot some new material for these past few weeks of television and not just relied on old footage. But yeah, like you said, I mean, Jeff Jarrett, that was a very like angry and bitter text, I would assume. And it was before he went into rehab. So I'm guessing his state of mind probably wasn't that great at the moment. He was upset about getting kicked out, didn't take any responsibility over it, which was more the reason the shape he showed up in. So, yeah, I wouldn't read too much into that. But I don't think things are too well there, but they will probably just try to keep cutting costs for the foreseeable future to try and make this work.
Yeah, it could be, too, that he was just trying to cover his own tracks, you know, make himself look better. You know, I don't, that could have been interpreted as, no, you know, they let me go because they're out of money, you know, they didn't want to pay me. And I almost wondered if, when I first read it last week, you know, I almost wondered, was he trying to position it like that, that's the reason he was let go, was because they're out of money and he claims that he's worth more and all this other stuff. So I mean, they clearly have enough money to run this weekend. You know, we're not, we said it earlier, we're not in the situation we were last year with this company where we're wondering about whether or not they're going to have a pay-per-view. It certainly seems, I think there was word that came down today that Bound for Glory was sold out. The TV tapings are not, but the pay-per-view is. So that's, you know, that's a good sign. They're running things on a shoestring. There's no question about it, but it seems to be, that's what I mean when I said earlier, I don't know if they're in a good spot, but I don't think there's any debating that they're in a better spot than they were a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys touch on the fact that apparently James Storm is leaving after November 11th, I believe.
Well, he could be. So his contract expires in January, and this will be the last set of tapings that Impact has before then. So it's possible if he doesn't re-sign, then this week's worth of television tapings, when that wraps up, that could be his last date with the company, just because it'd be nothing booked before his contract expires. So, yeah, that's a possibility. I mean, he had that one brief hiatus a couple of years ago when he was with NXT, but other than that, I mean, he's been an Impact lifer. So that would be a you could argue about how well he's been used, but that would be, I think, a pretty big void, you know, considering he's been really the one true original that they still have on the roster.
I guess he'll be going back to WWE soon, especially since Triple H said, I loved having him here while he was here, and the only reason he left us was to be closer to his family, and he just had a new baby, so I understand why he felt he needed to leave, and we couldn't offer him the money he wanted, so...
Yeah, I mean, Andrew, I think he'd be a good addition for NXT. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if James Storm's the type of guy they'd bring up to the main roster. Hey, you know what? Maybe they would do something, you know, with a beer money reunion down the line. I'm not sure that WWE knows what beer money is, but
right.
You know, I don't know if he'd be destined for the main roster, but he absolutely would be someone who could be a big part of NXT, both working, you know, in the upper part of the card on NXT, and also, of course, you know, helping their younger talent.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that at all. I mean, this last year has been pretty lousy for him. I mean, he came in. There was the DCC angle, which fell apart. This angle with AAA has been a complete bust. And it's unfortunate. When he came back, I was kind of excited because it seemed like things were looking up for them. They must have had more money. There must have been a reason why he chose Impact over NXT. So I thought things were really looking up. And he's been completely wasted. He's been in bad storylines and could probably use a change of pace, though I'm not too hopeful for things. I mean, just look what happened to Mike Bennett, and Bobby Roode's doing okay for himself, but he's cast in the wrong role. So creatively, I'm not that excited over it, but it probably is a good move for him.
Well, keep this in mind though, Andrew. Mike Bennett did decide to go to rehab right as they brought him in, so they're probably still deciding what they want to do with him since he went out sick.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
And my final question is along the lines of the James Storm issue. Who will now become Impact cornerstones, since we have to assume that with Impact no longer locking talent into really long-term deals, that perhaps EC3 and Eli Drake will probably be gone sooner rather than later?
You know, I think it's hard to predict with this new booking committee, just because, you know, we've talked about how little we trust John Gaborik. Who knows what direction they're going to go in, honestly. I mean, at the end of the day, if they don't have a lot of money, not signing talent to guaranteed contracts is smart. I mean, it's not good for the talent, but not getting wrapped up with big guaranteed deals is smart. Signing guys, you know, on a per appearance basis is what they might have to do if they don't have any money. I've brought this up a couple of times. I think the ideal strategy for them and I know Wade has mentioned this, I think on his Wade Keller hotlines for VIP members back when Anthem first bought the company, was to get your five or six guys, sign five or six guys to exclusive contracts, protect those five or six guys, and then everybody else can be on a per appearance until you build yourself up to the point again where you have some money. And then maybe instead of five or six, it's seven or eight. Then maybe it becomes nine or ten. Then maybe it becomes a dozen. You know, you might be able to get yourself to a point where you have 20 or 25 guys on exclusive deals again. But they're just, I don't think they're in a financial position to do that. So that's where I think they could have gone. As far as who's going to be the cornerstone, I mean, I don't really know. Maybe would you put it past them and say, hey, Sanjay Dutt and Petey Williams have been here the longest. They're our new cornerstones. I mean, would you
– Oh, man.
Would you put it past them, though? I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but honestly, like, would you be surprised?
Mm-hmm. I mean, ideally, it should be Abyss, like turning baby face.
And, yeah, and good point. Yep.
Actually treat him seriously, but I mean, we've seen what he's been doing this year. Otherwise, they might have to just go like Bobby Lashley. I mean, he's only been there for like 3 years, but I mean, this roster is, like you said, it's just turnover. I mean, I'm looking at Wikipedia right now, and besides Petey, Sanjay, yeah, it's pretty, pretty new, pretty fresh. And, who knows who's going to be sticking around here. Like you said, when the new creative team comes in and I mean, even Gail Kim's gone soon. Yeah. So yeah, they really do not have those people who fans have come to know and love over the past few years.
No, they don't. Hopefully the apocalypse doesn't come for this company, but every year it seems like we get closer and closer to it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it seems like a year ago at this time, they were on life support, and it was mm-hmm. who knew if they were going to be able to get through that. I think last year, before Dixie Carter sold the company, was the closest they came to actually going under. Now they at least seem to be treading water. I mean, not that that's a good thing, but they seem to be able to tread water, whereas last year they were about ready to go under. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, I guess, you know, Kylan, like you said, who knows where we're going to be a year from now?
Yeah. I mean, a year from now, you two may be getting that phone call from Ed Nordholm.
Well, hey, we're on record. We're ready.
Yep. It's well past due, I would say.
Well, Ed Nordholm has admitted that he doesn't know much about the wrestling business, so...
Hey, you know what? I'm a hockey fan, so if I had to move to Canada, I'd be fine. Like, let's go. I'll move to Canada right now.
I'm from Minnesota, so.
Oh, so there you go. Yeah.
Pretty close.
Exactly.
I'm used to it.
Especially if they move the company there. We'll be good to go.
Yep.
Well, guys, that's it for me this week.
All right, Kylan. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, let's go back to the emails quickly, and then we'll go back to more phone calls at 515-605-9345. This email is from Tony, New Jersey. Tony says, referring to this week's edition of Impact Wrestling, not great by any stretch of the imagination, but it's still the best show they've had in a while. The ending was a little different. Of course, they had to bury pro wrestling again. Not much else to say about it, except it didn't get me excited to see Bound for Glory, especially the X Division match, considering they just had that match on free TV. No real disagreements, I think, from either of us, Tony. One thing, though, that's interesting, he said they had to bury pro wrestling again. Andrew, I found this very funny. Dan Lambert's in the ring talking about how he was going to end Impact Wrestling and they were going to end pro wrestling and they were going to do it by beating a former football player and an MMA guy who's never had a wrestling match before. So how beating the former football player and the former UFC guy is going to kill pro wrestling, I'm not quite sure, especially when you consider that one of the guys on his team is a pro wrestler and was a pro wrestler before he was an MMA fighter. So I found that a little funny. But you know what? Dan Lambert, for my money, the content might not be 100% on point, but his delivery, he might be the best promo in the company right now.
Yes. I mean, him or Eli Drake.
Yeah.
He's better than Johnny Impact 10 times over.
I thought his promo last week where he was taking the belts, all the championship belts that he had collected, and talked about how he was a bigger fan than all the fans, and I thought that was really good.
I thought so, too. I mean, I like him because he's not overly scripted like the WWE stuff. I mean, it feels real. He kind of, like, fumbles a little bit. Everything he says isn't, like, brilliant or too clever. So it feels natural, and I like that style. I wish more people in the industry had the freedom to do that. But, no, I mean, he's entertaining. We've said this angle has not been that good. It's been pretty rough, but I kind of hope he sticks around. I don't know if I'd keep him with Lashley or find somebody else for him to manage, but he's been one of the highlights for me over the past couple months on Impact.
Yeah, you know, his delivery reminds me of – if you're an MMA fan and you watch MMA, the press conferences they have, you know, prior to UFC events or after them, where guys sort of get after each other and it sort of sets up fights. It's very much like that. I mean, obviously these guys aren't scripting lines, so So it sounds very off the cuff. It sounds very natural, and I agree that's sort of his delivery. All right, let's go. We got to get to another break. So when we go to another break, we'll come back. We'll take more phone calls at 515-605-9345. We'll also, of course, preview Bound for Glory. Andrew and I will give you our Bound for Glory picks a little later on in the show. And you can email us at impactlivecast@gmail.com. We'll be back with more Impact Wrestling talk here on the PW Torch Livecast right after the break.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling-related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality-hosted podcasts.
All right, back here on the PW Torch Livecast. Let's get right back to the phone calls. Ryan and Marilyn, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
First question I have for you, have you ever tried watching Impact on Pluto TV? And if so, is it any different than watching it on Pop TV, or do you get any extras with it when you do so?
You know what? I haven't. I have Pluto TV. I've checked out the channel once or twice, and they've always been airing other historical content, you know, things that aren't that aren't newer, that aren't, you know, this week's episode or anything like that. I don't know when they air the newer episodes on Pluto, how much of a delay there is. But, Andrew, have you checked out that channel more than I have?
No, I've watched it before. But, yeah, it was just old pay-per-views from probably like 2005, 2006 while I was watching. Yeah, I don't know if they are doing any different content on that, actually. Yeah, I wish I had a better answer for that.
My second question for you is, Dave Meltzer recently reported this week that, I guess, Colby Covington's in hot water with American Top Team over promos he's been doing in MMA. So is this storyline and Impact Wrestling that they're doing with American Top Team possibly causing conflict in real life between the team members?
I haven't seen that report. I'll have to try to check that out. I know Colby Covington has quite a mouth. He made some waves, I think, recently. I think it was last weekend or the weekend before. He picked up a win in the UFC and cut a very, very MMA style, a very pro wrestling heel style promo. It almost, you know, made me think, hey, he's learning something. But I haven't read that. I don't know what the issues would be, although I know that, you know, he's a pretty loud spoken guy, and I could certainly see where he may rub some people the wrong way. Andrew, have you heard anything about that?
Sadly, I have not heard that either. I haven't read anything about that. I mean, I would wonder what it could be.
that would cause some trouble, because really they've only been on, you know, they've had to make the set of TV tapings twice, which is like 12 days of work maybe. So yeah, not sure what that would be in any form, why that would make him mad, but I'd be curious to learn more.
My final question for you is, who's in charge of training Stephen Bonner for a wrestling match? Is that Scott DeMore's job, or is that someone else's job in the company to make sure he's ready for a pay-per-view match at Bound for Glory?
I believe it's Scott DeMore. I'm not 100% sure. I know Scott DeMore was training D'Angelo Williams before Slammiversary. So I don't know. I don't know 100% if it's Scott DeMore or not. But I believe I heard that it was Scott DeMore. Have you heard anything about that, Andrew?
That would be my guess as well. They showed the videos of D'Angelo Williams. He's all over TV with his training school. It's in Canada, so it's close to the where they're showing Bound for Glory. So I would assume that it's probably him showing him the ropes for a bit.
Just one quick thing to go back to Colby Covington too. There's video of it somewhere, but what he did, there was a UFC event in Brazil, and Colby Covington won and then just cut a huge promo on the Brazilian crowd and ran down Brazilian. I mean, it was intense, and it looked like a wrestling scene out of the 70s. You know, the police literally had to escort him out of the building. He was getting trash thrown at him. It was pretty intense. And I think I just pulled up something here, Ryan. I don't know if this is what Dave was reporting or referring to, but there was a fighter by the name of Ricardo Laborio who departed an American Top Team a couple of years ago, and apparently... Okay, so apparently it made it appear, it was announced this week that he was leaving American Top Team, and it made it look like he's a Brazilian fighter, and it made it look like he was leaving because of Colby Covington's remarks, and it looks like, maybe he even said that. Yeah, I'm seeing an Instagram post here where even he said that he was upset by Covington's remarks. But Dan Lambert is quoted here on MMAfighting.com as saying that he left 2 years ago due to some of his medical issues with his daughter, and was still on American Top Team payroll up until 5 or 6 months ago. So that may have been what he was referring to. Dan Lambert was quoted here as saying, "I'm stunned that he would put out some misleading information like that to put himself over. It really pisses me off. It really rubs me the wrong way. It's just not right. Get over yourself." So that may have been what Dave was referring to. I know Covington's remark. I mean, you could probably check out the video online. It was he cut a heel promo to end all heel promos. But I don't know. I don't know if that's what. Dave Meltzer was reporting on and discussing, but it could have been that, because that was a story that came out, I think it was actually earlier today or yesterday.
Okay, yeah. Dave might have over-exaggerated, because the words he used was they wanted to kill Colby Covington, but that seemed a little bit extreme. Sounded like he was just exaggerating a bit or not. And it was on his podcast from last night, I believe. Or the day before, I heard Dave say that.
Yeah, I mean, this was a story that was making the round in MMA circles over the last couple of days. So I wonder, and obviously, you know, Dave covers MMA as well. So I wonder if it was in relation to that, or just if there were other. It could have been that there were other fighters. I don't know enough about American Top Team. It could have been that there was other Brazilian fighters involved with American Top Team who I could certainly see where they would have been upset by Covington's remarks after his fight in Brazil last weekend.
Oh, okay. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, Ryan. Anytime. 515-605-9345, again, is the phone number. Let's, Andrew, run down this episode quickly. We talked about some of it, and it's going to be quickly because there wasn't a whole lot that actually happened. A lot of video packages.
Also, I just want to note that I just saw on Twitter that Brian Stifler, referee, has just got his release from Impact Wrestling. So Brian Hebner, Robert King, and Stifler, the only one who is left is Earl Hebner. at the moment.
Yeah, and that, you know what, that doesn't surprise me. Like I said, I read something today that they needed to use a lot of Canadians for a tax credit, and they were going to be using Canadian referees, and they were going to be using Canadian production people, and I'm sure Scott D'Amore has connections there, and I would not be a bit surprised to see Border City wrestling referees working the Impact tapings this week.
You know what? Yeah, not to – maybe this is looking into it too much, but maybe they know that they're going to be shooting in Canada a lot more in the future, which is why they asked for the release. Yeah, because if it was only one set of tapings, you could just sit it out and come back. But maybe that's just speculating, but it's interesting.
Yeah, especially, you know what, if Bound for Glory is sold out, if they're able to – like we've discussed this. If they're able to sell tickets just to cover their cost, then they're ahead. If they come out, if they come out breaking even, they're ahead. Because right now they're renting a soundstage at Universal Studios, and they're not generating any income from that crowd. They can't sell tickets. So if they're renting a facility, and the tickets are merely paying for the rent on that facility, they're still coming out ahead of where they are when they go to Orlando. So that it could be that, you know, it makes sense. Honestly, if Anthem owns a company, it makes sense for them to relocate, do their tapings in Canada, move the offices to Canada. It makes no sense to be paying for an extra office space down in Nashville. You don't need that. Just move the company to Canada. Anthem already owns office space in Canada. It would make sense. Just run the company out of those same offices. And, you know, that would, to me anyway, make the most sense. So I agree with you. I wonder if they do that. And we've talked about this, I think, the last week or the week before, about the move to taping it in a different location, that, hey, if this works, maybe they decide to take Impact on the road a little more often, whether it's Ottawa all the time or whether they bounce around to different Canadian markets. I guess we'll have to see. But it could also just mean, too, that, hey, you know what? If those referees, I don't know how their contracts are structured, but if they were on some type of guaranteed deal and they were paying them a salary, maybe they just say, hey, you know what? Why are we paying our referees a salary? We could do the same thing we do with the wrestlers. Don't have just pay per appearance from a referee standpoint, and then, you know, not have to worry about guaranteeing salaries and all this other stuff when they can just pay for the referees that they use at the tapings and have that be the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes financial sense. It's just that it's just so weird how this company has just, you know, it's just a few more ways and how they are basically unrecognizable from even January of this year. So I can imagine that there's going to be many more big changes within the next few months.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, the other thing, too, is you don't want to see stuff like this happen. Like there's only so many jobs in pro wrestling, so you don't want to see anybody lose their source of income. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is also a company that doesn't really have any revenue stream. So they have to do what they have to do in order to survive. I think some people making a part-time living with Impact Wrestling is better than nobody making a living at all. I guess they got to do what they got to do, and hopefully they can grow back to a point where they can employ more people. But, you know, it seems like that they're trying to run this thing as cheaply as possible. And you know what? I don't blame them. People can say, oh, it's because they don't have any money. Well, no, maybe it's just because they don't want to lose any more money. You know, I don't think you can blame anybody that owns the company for saying to themselves, hey, you know what? I don't want to lose as much money as we're losing. Let's try to cut costs. Like, that to me is just what you do, or else your business doesn't survive.
It makes sense. I mean, and if you're going to draw 260,000 viewers with a lot of former WWE stars and probably refs who are getting paid a little more because they've been around a long time, or if you're going to draw 260,000 viewers with the, you know, people that are basically Canadian talent who haven't been exposed, I mean, one's going to be a lot cheaper than the other. So they just don't have the momentum to justify big deals at this point, or even medium-sized deals.
100%. All right, let's look at this week's episode of Impact, then we'll take a break and come back and preview Bound for Glory and give our picks. They went first after some video packages to Rosemary and Allie versus Sienna and Casey Spinelli. This match took place from Border City Wrestling. Allie picked up the win here, rolling up Sienna. I thought it was a decent match for what it was, but again, it goes back to what I said last week. The idea of bouncing all around the world and showing these different matches, I think, was a good idea on paper. The execution has not been very good. And you know, here you had a match that looked like it was in a high school gym or a small college gym. ironically, it looked like there was more people there than there was in an Impact taping, but it was dimly lit. The production value wasn't good, and I thought that the presentation just made it made the presentation made Impact look minor league because it looked like you were airing an indie show.
Yep, agreed. It was a strange way to start the night because it looked designed to put over Rosemary. Even though Sienna was also in the match and she's the champ and she has a big match and she was pinned, and it didn't really, I don't know, it just didn't really feel like it meant that much. I mean, Allie was the one to do it, but there just wasn't the footage or the time to really play that up as a big deal. And Josh Matthews once again went for his lazy pun or, I don't know, joke of just saying she looks like an Easter egg. Like, eh, get over it.
Yeah, exactly. Then they aired the American Top Team promo that we've already discussed. Then it was off to Japan, where Moose and Okabayashi beat Nakajima and Masa Kitamiya? I think it was Kitamiya. But Okabayashi gets the win here. Moose wasn't even in the ring, I think, when it happened. And again, we talked about this last week, but they have to edit the match. They aired what looked like they were trying to present it as if they were airing the whole match, but they weren't. So they had to edit the match. And in editing the match, I noticed at one point, Okabayashi's on the outside. He's on the apron. Moose is the legal man. And then there's a cutaway of Moose, I think, hitting a dropkick, and he's standing on the apron, waiting like a tag partner would. And then all of a sudden they cut to the next sequence, and he's down on the outside, laying on the ground. Apparently he had been pulled off the apron and attacked, but they had never mentioned that because the announcers, Jeremy Borash and Josh Matthews, are, I guess, told to pretend like this is happening live. So Okabayashi fell off the ring apron and bumped his head. Like, I don't know exactly how he ended up with the ground. It was never explained. But he was, and they all. I didn't like that. I also didn't like that they were trying to play this up like it was happening tonight. You know, Josh Matthews was talking about how Moose has got to fly all the way back across the country to get to Ottawa here for Sunday. Anybody with a cell phone can go to Google and find out that this match happened on October 1st. So, you know, this is where I think reality has to come into it a little bit. Like, you can have you can have a narrative, you can have a universe within your storytelling where, hey, in our universe, this is happening live. But like I said, anybody can just Google these names and find out, oh, this match happened a month ago. I didn't like that. You know, just especially where that's a line that you could just leave out. You don't have to say, oh, Moose has to fly across the country now or fly across the world now. You don't have to say that. You know, you could just ignore it, and I don't know. I just thought it made it look kind of dumb.
Agreed. Yeah, while watching the match, I didn't buy into any of the near falls because I'm like, well, Moose has got to play into the finish. Otherwise, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And then he didn't at all. And they played it up like, oh, Moose got this big win, and he's outside of the ring. He's not even on camera while they hype that up. So, yeah, this could have aired 3 months ago. It could have aired 3 months into the future, and it would have had the exact same effect because it didn't accomplish anything. So it was fine, just pointless.
That seems to be the one common theme throughout the show is it didn't mean anything.
Right.
Let's see. Then they went to LAX. LAX was in their clubhouse. Eli Drake and Chris Adonis walked in. They agreed to work together for one night only. Then they went to a six-way match. It's the six-way match that you're going to see on Sunday. Trevor Lee, Desmond Xavier, Sanjay Dutt, Petey Williams, Matt Sydal, and Garza Jr. Desmond Xavier gets the win over Trevor Lee. So Desmond Xavier pins the champion heading into the pay-per-view. This, by the way, twice now on this show, the champions were pinned going into the pay-per-view because Sienna was pinned earlier in the show. What were your thoughts here? Obviously, we talked a little bit about this earlier. I thought it was a dumb move to put this match on TV 3 days before you want people to pay for it. But am I overreacting or was this a dumb decision?
Yeah, I'd say it's dumb. I mean, it's dumb, but I didn't expect any better. So, I mean, they've been just doing this for weeks where it's been all these guys wrestling each other. There's nothing like storyline wise that's that interesting. Going into Slammiversary, it was Low-Ki and Sanjay Dutt. They had a pretty decent storyline going, one-on-one match. And it's just kind of disappointing how the X Division has kind of just fallen once again, because a few months ago, they were main eventing episodes of Impact. There was more one-on-one matches, and now it's just the back to the standard, typical complete chaos, multi-man match that's fun. Like, the match was decent, but I mean, I just wasn't emotionally invested in any way, which is what those matches do to you after seeing 100 of them over the years. So, yeah, just there's a lot better ways to build that match than give it away for free, just a lesser version of it.
Yeah, exactly. And it wouldn't be an Impact pay-per-view without some multi-man X Division match, because they just can't seem to book one-on-one matches with these guys. They did with the last one at Slim. Oddly enough, at Slammiversary, yeah, they did. But usually they refuse to book one-on-one matches. All right, then they went to the main event. Johnny Impact and OVE beat LAX and Eli Drake in a six-man. Then there was the big angle after the match. LAX and OVE brawled all around ringside. Santana hit a dive, I think, off the stage. In the ring, Chris Adonis and Eli Drake pulled back the apron and the canvas and the mat, and Eli Drake gave Johnny Impact a gravy train on the exposed boards, the wood planks in the ring. I didn't think the match was very good. I mean, it wasn't bad. It was just your typical TV match, not real exciting. Mm-hmm. The post-match angle, though, I did think was good. I thought the angle with OVE and Santana brawling, I think that sets the stage for a street fight on Sunday. You know, they were the ones that went outside the ring, which made sense, because they're the ones that are going to be in a street fight on Sunday. So I thought that made sense. I thought that, we've seen it before where a wrestler pulls back the canvas and exposes the boards like that. But I don't remember it happening on Impact. Maybe I'm just not recalling it, but at least recently, I don't remember an angle like that on Impact. So I thought that was well done. And then one quick side note, I thought that the beginning of the match when Johnny Impact came out and Eli Drake was hiding off the corner of the stage and ran down and hit him from behind with the belt was well done too. That was something we don't see a lot as well. Mm-hmm. The one criticism there would be, of course, Johnny Impact. We all know that Eli Drake is waiting there, but Johnny Impact doesn't. So that means Johnny Impact, there's no monitor apparently at gorilla position at Impact, because Johnny Impact was the only person that didn't know that Eli Drake was hiding there. I think it would have worked better if it was like a true sneak attack and nobody knew that Eli Drake was there, but that's just, mm-hmm, that's one small minor nitpick. What did you think on this match overall? And then the angle that they did afterwards to set up those two matches heading into Bound for Glory.
Agreed that the match was fine. The problem is it's another version of what we will see on the pay-per-view, which is,
true,
I guess, the go-to booking for every promotion these days, or at least WWE and Impact. I like the last angle. They went with the right call of making Eli Drake look like the dominant champion, and that Johnny Impact is at this major disadvantage. So they played that up pretty well. And even Jeremy Borash showed a little bit of outrage. So that worked. And he didn't show a lot, but he was mildly upset about this. So that's vast improvement, even though we probably recorded this months ago.
Yeah. I thought it was good too, to let the heels get some heat at the end too. You don't want to see the baby faces standing tall on the go home show. You want people to say, hey, I want to see my hero get his redemption, so I'm going to order the pay-per-view so I can see that. I want to see Johnny Impact beat Eli Drake for the title after what he did to him, on Thursday, so I'm not going to order the pay-per-view. That's what you want. So I thought it made sense to go with the heels, really getting some heat at the end to hype the pay-per-view as much as possible.
Yeah, agreed. Just like last week, the main event and event of the show was the strongest part. The rest of the show was forgettable to kind of lousy, but overall this episode was, I guess, better than the last 2 weeks. Not saying a lot, but nothing overly infuriating happened this week. Just a lot of video packages and a bit of boredom, I would say.
All right. Let's go to the break. When we come back, Andrew and I will give you our picks. Our Bound for Glory picks will be up right after the break, right here on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hello, you people. I'm Pat McNeil. Every Sunday night, Greg Parks and I will bring you Wrestling Night in America here on PW Torch Livecast. We're on at 8 p.m. Eastern most weeks or immediately following the night's pay-per-view. We'll talk Raw, SmackDown, NXT, GFW, New Japan, Ring of Honor, WWN, and all the latest wrestling news with your phone calls. So don't miss it. Be there.
All right. Back here in the PW Torch Livecast. If you are a listener to our VIP after shows that Andrew and I do after these live casts, you'll know that we make picks for every pay-per-view, and Andrew keeps track. And so far, he's kept track to let me know how much he's beating me by, because he's had a lead since day one. By the way, one quick little production note, no VIP after show this week. If you're a VIP member, I apologize. I'm on the East Coast, so we'll wrap up this show about 11:30, between 11:30 and 12. And I have a 3:30 a.m. wake-up call tomorrow because I have a 6 a.m. flight out of Logan Airport in Boston. So I will be taking the opportunity to sleep as much as humanly possible. But I'll be back on Sunday morning, so we'll be able to we'll have Impact coverage on PWTorch.com. And like I said, Andrew and I will be on the air live right after Bound for Glory goes off the air. So, Andrew, where do you have our standings there? Where do our picks stand? I'm only behind one, right?
You are. This is round five. And overall, we are 1-1-2. So somebody better go up tonight overall. But I am 23-11, and that's 68% prediction accuracy. Mike, you are 22-12. You are one behind me. That's 65%, according to my calculator. Super close.
It shouldn't be good. We shouldn't be able to predict 70% of the outcomes. That means either we know too much or it's too predictable. I feel like 70% is a high percentage.
That is pretty high. I think it's going to be messed up a little bit tonight because just due to the overall chaos of Impact right now, we may get them all wrong. I mean, so TLC, we went 6-1 each. So I do not think we are doing that tonight.
Yeah, especially because I have no idea where they're going. what's the creative direction of Impact? And not in a good way, but I have no idea where they're going. All right, so let's go with the, I'll work from the bottom up here according to how the matches are listed on Wikipedia. So let's start with there's eight matches on this show, at least eight matches that have been booked so far. We'll start with the six-man tag match, Team Impact versus Team AAA.
Due to the chaotic nature of Impact, I don't know if AAA will be around anymore, so I'm going to go Impact just for that reason alone.
This will be the first one where we're different. I'm going to go with Team AAA. I think they will be around. They have a partnership. I think it's going to continue. I think that they are going to want to show some goodwill towards their partners and give AAA a win here. And I wouldn't be surprised, if it's EC3. Because remember, EC3 is supposed to be a heel. So maybe it's EC3 turning on his team and just, cementing the fact that he is a heel. I don't know how they'll get out of it, but I think I'm going to go with Team AAA. So we'll see. Match one, we're already different.
All right, I like it.
All right, up next, it would be the Red Wedding match, which I believe is just a First Blood match. They're calling it a Red Wedding match. Is that incorrect? It's basically just a First Blood match, right?
I think so. I don't think they've said it on TV what it is, but...
Yeah, why would you have to explain the rules? Rosemary versus Taya Valkyrie. I am going to go with Taya here because this is... her first big match in the promotion. Technically this is supposed to be Rosemary's match, but I think that they want to protect Taya Valkyrie, and I think that they've got something. I think they've invested in her. They've invested in Johnny Impact together. They don't they're not together on screen, but they sort of come as a package deal. I think they'll give her a win here on what is really her first big match in the promotion.
Ooh, well, I'm going to spice things up further. I'm going to go Rosemary on this one, but my reasoning is logical wrestling booking, because Rosemary always gets the crap kicked out of her. So you should pay money to see her finally get her win. But this is Impact. Who knows what's going to happen? Also, she will be painting faces outside as part of Bound for Glory. So maybe I don't know, maybe that's part of the deal. You paint faces, we will finally let you win a match.
That's one thing I forgot to mention. How stupid is that? I mean, get it. She's a baby face. Okay, great.
Yeah.
She's also supposedly this demon. So she's going to paint little Johnny's face before the show? Like, it again, it just makes them look so minor league. Like, can you imagine WWE announcing Bray Wyatt before WrestleMania will be outside painting faces of the kids walking by? It's ridiculous. Come on. Just have better awareness than that.
She once kidnapped Bram and tried to kill him. So,
it's not her. You know, she's being told to do it, I'm sure. But, like, what I mean. The people in charge, like, have better awareness. You want someone to paint faces, fine. Have Allie go paint people's faces. Nobody will think anything of it.
It's harder to do it.
Yeah. Just anybody. Literally anybody. Maybe other than her and Abyss. This doesn't make sense. All right. Well, speaking of Abyss, he'll be in a Monsters Ball match against Grado. This one's hard. We'll alternate who goes first. So where are you going here with Abyss and Grado?
I mean, Abyss should win this. I mean, we were talking before. He's been in the company 15 years. Blah blah blah. He should mean something. But the storyline is, if Grado loses, he's out of the country. But then again, I don't know what's going on with this company and where their money is at and if they care about Grado that much. But still, I will go Grado for the feel-good moment that he gets to stay in America, even though they're fighting in Canada. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, Grado was going to win a match in Canada in order to stay in America. that's the other thing. You know, that's a good point. I never thought of that. He apparently has a visa to work for Park. That visa has nothing to do with Canada.
So stupid.
It's an excellent point. So I'm going to go with Abyss. I think this match is going to be a pretty good match. I don't think it's going to be a comedy match. I've seen some of Grado's stuff from over in the UK. He could be a pretty good serious wrestler when he needs to be. I think this is going to be an underrated match on the show. I think Grado will lose. And then I think that they could do something to that effect, because the show is in Canada. The tapings will be in Canada. So maybe they do something along the lines of Grado becomes an illegal immigrant in Canada and tries to hide out in the country. Yeah, and they I can see them doing something like that. You know, he's hiding in somebody's basement, or they'll do something with... they'll do some immigration angle, because of course they will. Six Sides of Steel, Moose and Stefan Bonner versus King Mo and Lashley. And I am going to go with Moose and Stefan Bonner, kind of for the same reason I went with, obviously, Moose and D'Angelo Williams back at Slammiversary. Stefan Bonner is a UFC Hall of Famer. King Mo's is a well-known MMA fighter, but this seems like it's going to be the end of this feud. I can't see American Top Team coming back for more after this match, so I think American Top Team will get defeated here. Moose and Stefan Bonner will get that moment, and Impact is going to want to hopefully, you know, get that shot of Stefan Bonner with his hand raised to go on every MMA website and potentially ESPN. I mean, they got some legs out of D'Angelo Williams. So I think they're going to hope that they get something similar out of Stefan Bonner with a big moment in his team getting a win here.
Yeah, I think so too. This is the only one I feel confident about. I mean, just the way America's Top Team has just ran down professional wrestling, it would just be silly of them to then have them win and make wrestling look like the dumber ineffective sport. But again, Impact, you don't know what's going on there, and who knows. But yes, this I'm feeling pretty good, I guess, overall about Moose winning here and Bonner winning. So, yeah.
Three-way match for the Impact Knockouts Championship. Sienna, the champion, she'll defend against Allie and Gail Kim. What are you seeing here?
I mean, Gail Kim got to talk tonight. They've been, I mean, most weeks they forget to mention that this could be her last match. I don't know. She hasn't really committed to that, but it's in Canada. I believe Gail Kim's from Canada. Give us a feel good moment. Yes, I will go Gail Kim here.
Me too. I think Gail's going to get the win, and then I think they'll play up the, well, what's going to happen now? Because Gail Kim won the championship and she's going to retire. And then I could see them either doing, you know, maybe they have something where she retires as champion and they do a tournament, or maybe they just have her lose to someone on the set of television tapings, which is going to take them through the end of the year. You know, they could do something, mm-hmm. I guess, if Taya Valkyrie beats Rosemary, I think you could set up Gail Kim versus Taya as a, I think you could do that as an Impact main event for the Knockouts title for one of these episodes that they're going to be taping over the next couple of weeks or over the next week here up in Ottawa. So I'm going to go Gail Kim as well. Let's see. The 51-50 street fight for the Impact World Tag Team Championship. OVE will defend against LAX. We found out in a 51-50 street fight, it's basically all of LAX against OVE. And one thing, this is a spoiler, but I feel it is only fair to mention this as we make picks. And also, it's a spoiler that Jeremy Borash flat out said in his interview with Jim Ross today, so I don't think it's a big spoiler because it's pretty much out there. The family member that OVE has been referring to in promos that they're bringing to Bound for Glory is Sami Callihan. So it's OVE and Sami Callihan against LAX. We don't usually get into spoilers, but I don't really count that as a spoiler because Jeremy Borash mentioned it in a pretty mainstream interview. So with that being said, I could certainly see them going with OVE retaining because Callahan's a big enough name that I think they would want that protected and they could do something with him moving forward. But I could also see them just breaking him away from OVE, as I think they should, break him away from OVE right away. I think if that's the case, I think that's the better direction to go in. Maybe have him come in to help OVE, but get out of the match with LAX winning somehow. Obviously, don't make it Sami Callihan's fault, and then break him away from OVE because I don't think OVE is really a big enough act. So I'm going to go with LAX. To reclaim the championship here. That might be more wishful thinking on my part because I just don't think OVE is connecting. And I think LAX, and like you have said, is one of the coolest things in wrestling right now. So I would like to see them put the title back on them. So I'm going to go with LAX.
I would much rather see them win, but I am going to go OVE. I'm going to use wrestling logic here where the deck seems so stacked against OVE that there's no way they can win, that they will win. Because even if they bring in a third guy, they're still outnumbered by two?
Yeah.
Maybe? I mean, depends who all shows up. So I don't want to see it. But, yeah, I mean, people in the Impact Zone dress up as OVE, so maybe they think they're really over or more over than they actually are. So I will go them.
Well, that's the other thing, too. The other wild card here is Alberto El Patron because we know he's going to be there. We don't know what he's going to do. I obviously, and you've agreed when we've talked about this, he should be a heel. He 100% should be a heel, which should mean that he comes. It should mean that OVE is about to win the match, and then El Patron comes out and costs them the match, and finally joins LAX, which is LAX was trying to get him to do for months prior to his suspension. What I think they will do. That's what I think they should do. What I think they will do is, because like you said, OVE, even with Sami Callihan, is still the numbers are still not in their favor. I think you'll see Alberto El Patron come out and even the score, which is going to be not good. Let's put it that way. So if they do that, then OVE will win because they're not going to have Sami Callihan and Alberto El Patron come down fight alongside OVE only to have them lose. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather see him show up there than in the main event. But
yeah, me too.
No idea. No idea what they have planned, but I guess I'm kind of curious then.
Six-way match for the Impact X Division Championship. This is a long one, although we just saw it tonight. Trevor Lee defends against Desmond Xavier, Garza Jr., Matt Sydal, P.D. Williams, and Sanjay Dutt. Who went first on the last one? Did I?
I think you did. I think so.
Yeah. No, you're right. I did. Okay. So who do you see? who do you see coming on top in the X Division Championship match?
The odds are against us to guess correctly on this if there's six, but let's see. I'm going to go. So they're in Canada. Oh man, no, I already picked Canada. Sorry, this is probably not entertaining to listen to. Let's go Petey Williams. He's friends with Dia Moore. Give us another feel good story. We're in Canada. He'll stick around for a bit and then drop the title back to Trevor Lee, is my thinking.
I'm going to go with Trevor Lee. I think Trevor Lee will retain. They had Trevor Lee take a pin. And again, I'm kind of using some wrestling logic here, which could be ill-advised. But they had Trevor Lee take the pin against Desmond Xavier tonight, which I think will then set up Desmond Xavier, you know, about to get the win at Bound for Glory, but Caleb Konley or Andrew Everett will make the save and cost him the match. Trevor Lee will retain, but then they'll have the out of, hey, Desmond Xavier beat Trevor Lee 1-2-3 in that six-way match before the pay-per-view. So then over the course of the next television tapings, they can go with Trevor Lee versus Desmond Xavier, maybe in a one-on-one match for the title at some point with Desmond Xavier, I would think, winning it then. So I'm going to go with Trevor. Yeah. I'm going to go with Trevor Lee retaining.
Interesting choice.
We are very different on these picks. This could swing the pendulum wildly in one direction.
We got five different ones so far. This is interesting now.
All right. The big one. Impact, I guess they're still calling it the Impact Global Championship. I'll call it the Impact World Title. Eli Drake defends against Johnny Impact. This is one where I could see them going either way, just because I don't know. I do think, though, that they are going to put the belt on Johnny Impact. I think they view him as a bigger deal than he is. That's not a slight on him. I don't think he's bad. But he's an upper card guy. I think they view him as a bona fide superstar. So I think they view him as being bigger than he is from a value standpoint with the fans. And because of that, I think they're going to look at this as an opportunity on their biggest show of the year to crown their new champion, have the big send-off, you know, have the big Johnny Impact celebrating with the confetti thing as they go off the air. I think they want that moment, and I think that that's where they're going to go. Where do you see them going with the title match?
That does make a lot of sense. But I'm just going to go all in and go with Eli Drake on this one. But not feeling confident either way. I already picked two feel-good moments. I just don't see them doing a third. I could get all three of them wrong. Who knows what the feel-good moment is going to be.
They might not be. You watch Impact lately, there's been some episodes with no feel-good moments at all.
So maybe they'll continue that trend.
Yeah, eight heels winning.
I mean, El Patron could be inserted into the match. That's a decent possibility.
Yep, me too.
I'll go Drake, but like 51% confidence it could go either way on this one. So, which is fun. I'm looking forward to it in its own way.
What do you think it does to Drake if he loses here? Do you think it hurts him to have such a short title reign as title reign number one? Or do you think his character is such that he can talk his way out of it and survive it?
I think it would hurt him a little. But I think he'll have to be kept strong enough just because there's no other top-level heels for Impact to feud with for a bit. I mean, I guess besides El Patron. Of course he's a great talker, so I think no matter what, he'll still be in the upper part of the company for a bit. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think I agree. I think he can sustain it just because, you know, worst case, he's going to go right back to where he was before he won the title. But I think they, you know, maybe then you could develop him a little more slowly and not have it feel like Jinder Mahal, where you shove the title on him before he might be ready for it. But that's not to say, right. I mean, I think he's done a good job. He's done a good job. It's just that I think they as a company, as a booking committee, or as a booking, not a booking committee. I guess they do have a committee though. But they as a company need to do a better job booking him to feel like a star, because I don't think he's done a bad job. I just don't think he feels like a superstar yet. And that's just because of time. You know, I don't think that they were putting enough behind him before he won the title. So I'd almost like to see them do that and really give him a proper build and make him feel like more like a superstar. And then maybe a match like Eli Drake versus Johnny Impact would feel like a main event worthy match to your biggest show of the year. Whereas on the flip side, like we said earlier, it just doesn't, there's too much about the show that doesn't feel like it's big enough. And I think the lack of star power is a big reason why.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, it's great for him that he has the title, but it's also unfortunate that this is his first run and his character just was not built up to have it matter in a meaningful way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not that they, you know, it's not that he's done a bad job. It takes time. You know, nobody goes, nobody gets there overnight. And I feel like they had Eli Drake on a pretty good path. You know, he was on an upwards trajectory, and it was a nice slow trajectory, but it was going well. And then all of a sudden they needed somebody to put the belt on when El Patron got in trouble. And they were like, people like this guy. And they went, you know, they took him from where he was, which was maybe, you know, 65% of the way there, 70% of the way there. And they just jumped him right to the top. And, it's not that he wasn't ready. It's not that he can't deliver. You know, his matches are good. His promos are excellent. It's just that he didn't feel like a big enough star. And that, again, that's back. That's on booking. It's because they didn't build him up slow enough so that people view him as a legitimate superstar. I think that's really the problem. And I'm not sure there's anything that he can do to fix that right now, because I don't really think the issue was his. I think he was doing just fine. I think it was more along the lines of just how they presented him and how they've rushed him. I don't think anybody really would have been able to make it work when it was rushed to the degree that his push has been rushed.
Yeah, agreed. I mean,
90 seconds,
probably a year too soon.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, those are our picks for Bound for Glory. The pay-per-view will be Sunday at 8 PM. And again, right after the pay-per-view ends, Andrew Socek and I will be back here with you on the PW Torch livecast. Wrestling Night in America, they'll still air. Greg and Pat, they'll still air in their regular time slot, 8 p.m. Eastern on Sunday night. They'll be on the air during Bound for Glory.
60 seconds.
So if you want to talk about Bound for Glory as it happens, you can give them a call at 515-605-9345. If you want to talk to Andrew and I after the show, give us your thoughts, what you liked, what you didn't like. We'll be on the air right around 11 p.m., as soon as the pay-per-view ends, here on the PW Torch livecast. Let's see. Anything else you want to add before we jump out of here for this week, Andrew?
I don't think so. Just as usual, check out pwpodcast.com. We got some new shows being covered there, which is exciting. Killing the Town with Cyrus and Lance Storm. The Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast interview Friday. And the Jim Cornette Experience. So new shows, along with all the classics. If you want to follow me on Twitter, Andrew Socek. And, tune in on Sunday, order the show if you want. And if you don't, still check in with us and, listen to us, review it.
Exactly. You'll get a pretty good idea, whether or not we like it or not. we don't hold anything back, which the people who comment on our stories on pwtorch.com don't seem to like, which is fine.
Unfortunate.
as Wade put it, I was on Wade's podcast a couple of weeks ago following SmackDown, and he made the comment, which I thought was funny. He said, sometimes it feels like, he asked me, he goes, do you ever read the comments on your PW Torch Impact reports or on Andrew's Hits and Misses? And it just so happened that during that SmackDown, when the show was on, I was. And I was laughing, and I said, yeah, you know, just earlier tonight I was. does. And he goes, you know, sometimes it feels like the entire Impact front office must create accounts and just start commenting on your reports, because you know, just it feels like it's the same people every week. And said, you know, he goes, I'd love to find out where these people, what they like. Because my biggest thing is nobody says what they like. Everyone just says, oh, well, I like the show. Well, what do you like about it?
Yeah.
You know, tell me what you like. And my biggest pet peeve is the constant comparison of, well, it's better than anything I saw on WWE this week. Well, great. That's saying a lot, because, you know, it's not like their shows are perfect either.
I didn't even know that was a thing until I heard you two talk about it. I just try not to read, I guess, comment sections because it doesn't. It does seem like it's just kind of some people signing up to. Who knows? Maybe they're in the front office and just bored. And
I usually ignore them too, but for some reason, and I can't figure out how to turn this off, I get an email notification anytime someone comments on something I write. I wish I could figure out how to turn it off, because I post my Impact report before I fall asleep tonight. There will be at least one comment about how I'm an idiot and everything I say is wrong, which at this point I get a kick out of. I'm like, I almost because a lot of times it's the same name. So like I almost wake up on Friday morning and I'm like, I can't wait to see what, you know, what T-Bone 22 has to say about how dumb I am this week. It's kind of fun. It's become my Friday morning ritual as I drink a cup of coffee. So it'll be a really early Friday morning tomorrow, because, like I said, I got a wake-up call in 4 hours, which should be fantastic. Oof. I'm sure I will not
have been sleeping hours ago.
Yeah, I will not be a walking zombie at all tomorrow.
Dedication to Impact. I like it.
yeah, exactly. Some people say that I'm crazy, and that pretty much confirms it. All right. Well, that will do it for this week's Thursday edition of the PW Torch Livecast. Like I said, Andrew and I will be back on Sunday night following Bound for Glory with a special edition of the Impact Livecast here on PWTorchLivecast.com. Be sure to check us out. Andrew said you can follow him on Twitter at Andrew SOUCEK. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike McMahon PW. That'll do it. So if you're not a VIP member, if you are a VIP member, again, I apologize, no VIP after show this week, but I need to get some sleep. We will have a VIP after show next week. And I think, will we have more picks to make next week too, Andrew? Is there a WWE pay-per-view a week from Sunday?
I think Survivor Series is the next one, so I think we will have a couple weeks off.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. That's probably the Sunday before Thanksgiving usually. If I remember correctly, this is completely off topic. I liked Survivor Series a lot more when it was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I understand that they probably didn't get any buys and that's why they changed it, but I always thought that was cool to have that Wednesday night pay-per-view the night before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Now that they have the network and they don't have to worry about actual buy rates on pay-per-views, they should go back to that. Although maybe it's, you know what, if I'm a talent though, I'd rather, you know, have that week off to be home. All right. So anyway, as I keep delaying the end of the show, I'm the one that needs to get to bed, and I'm the one delaying the end of the show. That'll do it for this week's edition of the PW Torch Livecast. Andrew and I will talk to you Sunday night as soon as Bound for Glory goes off the air, right back here on PWTorchLivecast.com. If you're not a VIP member, you should be. You would normally get to hear Andrew and I talk for about another half an hour on some WWE-related topics on our VIP after show. Like I said, we won't be doing that this week, but we'll get that back in the pipeline next week. But it's not just us. There's a whole lot more benefits you get for being PW Torch VIP. And PW Torch editor Wade Keller is going to tell you more about those benefits.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Killer Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Killer Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Past Show with scouting reports on prospects, and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.
All right, well, that will do it for this week's edition of the PW Torch Livecast, Impact Livecast. Thanks again for listening. Thanks again for calling and emailing. And Andrew and I will talk to you Sunday night as soon as Bound for Glory goes off the air. So thanks again for your calls. Thanks for your emails. Thanks for listening. Thanks for everything here at pwtorchlivecast.com. And Andrew and I will talk to you Sunday night post Bound for Glory. Yeah.